stunning Stan C at your service. To my right, rowdy Raph Camus, and right across me, ravishing Ro Moran. It's episode number 73 of the SGP podcast, and let me just remind you that we are the number one.
Number one.
32 ranked podcast.
Man, fuck,
we went in the sports and rec section. Yeah,
how is that possible? We got the
other
good numbers
people,
for Brian.
Other people can do better than
That's
us.
That's true.
Yeah,
especially Cheap Heat. Apparently,
yeah, Cheap Heat's at 116 now, which is one of the highest rankings I've seen for it in quite a while.
So. For a wrestling podcast, even.
Yeah, well, no, I mean Stone Cold's podcast does pretty well.
Oh, no, man.
Jericho's podcast
Wait,
does really well.
Say, can I just say? You remember, you know, Sonny Sansi, Rowdy Raph Camus, Ravishing Ro Moran.
Yeah.
Two of those people are dead.
Oh, that's true.
Two of those people are fucking dead.
That's true.
That's so sad.
And it's us.
Yeah, and it's us.
Sorry.
Thank God Stone Cold is still alive, man.
Yeah, actually. And Stone Cold's relatively healthy, so, you know. Speaking of Stone Cold, I've been listening to yung podcast niya with Paige.
Mm. That was pretty solid. That was pretty solid. The only problem I have with that episode is Paige breaks kayfabe within five minutes.
But everyone breaks kayfabe.
Yeah, no. On the podcast.
On the podcast. But it was so fast. It's like, oh, yeah, when I took a bump. And it's like, huh? We're talking about bumps?
Why? Why does this upset you?
No, it doesn't upset me. It's just it happened so fast. Apparently, there was no easing into it now. Let's talk about industry terms. There's none of that. It's just
no, hey Jericho din naman eh.
You don't listen to the podcast, do you?
I do. I listen to his previous WWE podcast shows. I listen to his stuff on, well, the occasional good episode. Not so much Jericho nowadays, but it's really just bam.
No, pero maayos naman yung ano yung the Stone Cold interview page. I particularly enjoyed it, and I like how. She clarified this one Daniel Bryan anecdote from the book,
right?
About Daniel Bryan going to UK.
Yeah.
Yung rough family. It didn't register no una na it was the Knight family pala. So it was nice of Paige to actually clarify that.
You didn't get it right away.
No, I didn't.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I didn't get it right away. Because he didn't name it, and ito ata yung point na medyo nakakatamad.
He said. A current WWE Divas family in the UK.
How many?
Oh, wait. Oh, nga pala.
How many of those apply?
Right. Okay, now that you mentioned it, because I don't remember the exact words. So, nouna parang. I just glossed over
it. Did it really happen?
Yeah, it really did happen. She clarified it. She basically owned up to it being her family that, you know, ended
like
up roughhousing.
Worst kept secret ever, though.
Yeah.
But So anong ginawa? Wala lang. Sinabi lang niya.
Yeah, she just clarified it. Sinabi lang niya na, you know, Brian doesn't mention it in the book, but it's actually about her. So, yeah. That was nice. If there's one big takeaway I could get from the podcast, I guess it was the fact na sobrang nakakatuwa lang talaga yung audio ni Paige. Like, yung tipong nakaka-inlove na audio, you know what I mean? Like, there's some people that when you listen to them talk, nakaka-inlove silang pakinggan.
Paige kasi is a good talker talaga. It's just that people can't get over her accent.
Yeah,
because she's very heavy
it's
English.
Thick. But it's not like super thick.
It's not Scouse thick. It's the fact that her, how do you say this? Her inflections are very, very, very obvious.
She talks like an American now, though.
But it's not like Neville, and you're still trying to struggle to understand
him. See, it's not incomprehensible.
See, Paige, actually, what I notice when she talks is she sounds like an American. Like, she ends every sentence as a question.
You know?
Parang nagtatanong yung end ng sentence. Like, you know, I had to go to the grocery, and I think I had to pick up some cheese. So it was weird. It was very Californian. And I don't know why I was analyzing this shit. I guess I was just that bored in traffic this afternoon.
So Paige is a California girl.
California Brit. Parang ganun.
I'm sure she lives in Florida, I think.
Yeah, she does live in Florida, which she did mention. Anyway, it's been a crazy week in wrestling here in the Philippines just because everyone is so stoked for the upcoming PWR Live, which is set to happen
intense.
In 2 days, August 15.
It's so intense that, you know, Mark Henry's blowing up because of it.
Yeah, they are blowing up.
I mean, our good friend of the podcast, Anthony
Cuello.
Anthony Cuello did write a PWR primer for all of those who have not been to a show and who are coming for the first time this Saturday.
I think it's about damn time that somebody actually released a primer for everybody who doesn't really have an idea about who the PWR guys are and what PWR is.
And I mean, it's one of those articles that you think, hey, it's something we should have done a long time ago, but we're doing it now.
No, well, that's true.
We really could have had one for Revo X and sold it as a pre-show reading material.
Yeah. Oh, nga.
Which we should looking do back. For the next one.
Looking back. Back.
Right. Anyway, do check it out. It's at www.smarkhenry.ph. And because it is PWR week, expect more PWR pieces to come in the next few days.
Yeah, it's happening. Well, this episode is coming out on a Friday.
Yeah.
So the Friday tomorrow. Before. That's tomorrow.
Right.
So expect...
The unexpected. No,
expect more. Expect more. I mean, PWR is known for the unexpected at this point. So, I don't know. As much as we talk about it, there's still so many things that even the three of us might not see coming.
Well, we know that there's going to be a beer drinking challenge featuring Canto Terror. He calls it the La Castama Open Beer Drinking Challenge. So, that's happening. You also have the Mark D. Manalo Bootcamp Invitational. And we're going to be talking to Mark D. Manalo in just a bit. He'll tell us more about that Bootcamp Invitational. Also happening on the card, you've got the PHX Tournament, the inaugural.
Four matches for the PHX.
Right. The Philippine Hybrid X Tournament kicks off. You've got Sandata versus Chris Panzer. Also a match between Mayhem Brannigan and Miguel Rosales. Joey Bax will take on Ken Warren, and Ralph Imabayashi takes on Peter Versosa. So that's the lineup. You also have a grudge match between Bombay Suarez and Cutthroat John Sebastian. And your main event, the PWR Championship, will be seeing Jake De Leon challenge the current champion, Classical Brian Leo, who will be joining us, by the way, in just a few minutes alongside John Sebastian. But right now, why don't we talk about wrestling from all over the world, particularly Lucha Underground, because I found myself waking up this morning thinking, parang ang kulang ng morning ko. Like, there's no Lucha Underground to look forward to. There's a void. I feel it already.
Season 1 just wrapped last week, as, you know, me and Ro discussed mostly. But looking forward to Season 2, the ending of the season finale speaks volumes.
I like how they did cutscenes. I mentioned way before the Prince Puma character reminds me of a Create a Wrestler character, diba? With his cutscenes. And then the epilogue featuring all of the main and relevant characters, it was very reminiscent of a video game.
My ending.
Yeah. So
the best part, I think, was, you expect Drago to turn into a dragon.
Right.
But fucking Aerostar
goes back
beams
to the
up
cosmos.
Into space.
Oh, I think, Jesus Christ.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Hindi. Ano siya eh. Nag-take off siya eh. Hindi siya beam up eh.
Yeah. I liked yung kina Son of Havoc.
Yeah.
Right out into the sunset.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But it was, parang, to me, it was like,
we'll get them next time.
It was like safe eh. Parang, in case there isn't a second season.
Yeah.
It wrapped everything up just in case.
And I thought that was a good move. Because
I don't know if it's a bad move or it's just really that I'm not used to it. But, alam mo yun, wrestling, kasi, we're used to wrestling being a never-ending narrative.
Right.
And then to see this wrestling show actually wrap up after a season, as in actually acknowledging that this is an ending.
This is the end of a chapter at the very least.
It's disorienting, to say the least. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just different.
It's different, yes.
If I may, I actually have a theory to answer that.
Oh.
See, John Morrison, he was the subject of a Rolling Stone interview some weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he explained that the difference between Lucha Underground and other wrestling promotions is Lucha Underground is a drama about a wrestling promotion. It's not necessarily a wrestling promotion per se, which kind of explains why there are yung conclusions and finales and story arcs being wrapped up and loose ends being tied up. So I think that explains why they had to like have those epilogues and why they had to close out certain angles and stories.
All right. Yeah, I get it. Pero, I mean, it's a drama about a wrestling promotion, but still.
It doesn't give us a clear-cut understanding no matter what it is, which is, at the end of the day, a wrestling program that has reality TV elements that are so good that it gets an Emmy nod.
No, yung ano lang, I think the reason lang why I brought up that theory is the fact na, to your point, na wrestling is never ending, diba? It's like a fictional sport, diba? Which is
it, it's
basically like a sport, diba? The way that it's supposedly portrayed, even though it's a drama. You Lucha Underground, it kind of acknowledges more the fact that it's really a program about a wrestling promotion. Yeah. So I think that's the key difference between what we've gone accustomed to vis-a-vis Lucha Underground. And that's why I love it, actually.
Do we ever find out why or what Dario Cueto was running from?
No, we don't. We also didn't really get to see what Matanza looks like. We didn't get to see much of the graffiti. And that Rolling Stone interview I referenced earlier mentions that the graffiti around the temple will be clues to a long-running storyline that supposedly spans several future seasons. So we haven't seen any of that stuff just yet. And it opens the door for a lot of things should future seasons materialize.
Speaking of future seasons, on this morning's grapevine for Smart Henry, it was noted that several wrestlers are being asked to sign contracts that would extend as far as 7 seasons. Which would mean if this graffiti angle, you know, materializes, 7 seasons of that's asking for a lot. And I'm a guy who, as much as I like long-standing series, that's longer than some of my favorite series I've ever
done. You compute it. 7 seasons. Oh, this season ran for 9 months.
9 months, yeah, that's what I was about to say. 9 months, 7 seasons, that's at least...
a lot, at least 6 more years.
6 more years.
At least.
And why not? I mean, if you're a wrestler, but you're kind of like an NBA player. You're looking for guaranteed money. You're looking for a long-term deal.
Not 7 years, man. Yeah. And you'd be tied down.
Would you know of a contract that lasted 7 years?
Wrestling. Well, see, Mark Henry, he had a 10-year contract that he signed in 96.
But the WWE is never ending. The thing about the 7-year contract is, okay, for one, we don't already know when a second season is happening.
Sure.
So if they're stuck in that ironclad contract,
okay,
without even knowing whether or
without
when,
the guarantee of a second season,
when they're gonna be working again. Like, what if they get other opportunities?
For example, Prince Puma
is
Ricochet in real life.
Is actually competing for NJPW.
And he will be competing for the Super Junior Championship at the end of G1.
I'm not sure, though, if we know the terms of the contracts. Because I don't think these contracts are public knowledge. At least in terms of...
No, we already know. Because we already have an issue with Hernandez.
Yes.
Na,
with TNA. That
he wasn't... yung pala, hindi pala siya pwedeng lumabas sa TV ng kalaban.
And then, in this case, you have New Japan that's showing on AXS.
AXS
Network, which is technically competing against El Rey, which would bring up the fact that, okay, NJPW may not be as current on AXS, but it's still there.
So
there's still
you're
a possibility.
Saying that the only ones that they can actually compete for would be AAA, because hey, there's an agreement between AAA and Lucha Underground.
Yeah,
possibly. Obviously. No, that's the only obvious one. But
right. What
happens in the case of guys like, I don't know, the smaller players in this case, like
you can appear for another company as long as they don't have TV.
Okay,
like for example, you can do PWG
because it's only internet based.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
But still, it there's a lot of gray area there, given that they intend to go 7 seasons, that they intend to go so long, and the contracts will be for just as long. It's hard to imagine a scenario wherein guys like Puma, Mil Muertes, the Trios, I mean, the really good guys, the guys that we talk about all the time, will be signed indefinitely.
But is it possible? If this all gets canceled, all this arguing goes for nothing. Because that means that they can just sign with another
obviously,
promotion.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah, obviously, it's all for nothing if it all gets canceled.
Because that would be
but
it.
We don't know yet, and we already know that they have plans of continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not a matter of when
or where.
Yes.
Maybe not in El Rey.
Maybe not in Boyle Heights.
Okay. Yumpa.
All right. Let's talk about Raw now. Let's switch gears a little bit. Raw was actually tight this week.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
It's been tight lately.
Yeah. Wrestling was solid all around.
Storylines were advanced.
No, I think what I liked best about storylines for this episode was almost every storyline...
Let's
make a sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't
touch it. Yes. So what I liked about Raw this week was that every storyline basically got punched a ticket to SummerSlam. Almost every storyline now has
lang,
a match.
2 weeks na until SummerSlam.
No, kasi diba nasanay na rin tayo na the week of SummerSlam, you kind of know that this match is happening, but you're not sure.
Yeah.
But at least now we know. Like, the only storyline left hanging right now would be Owen Cesaro and Orton Sheamus. Yun lang yung wala pang announced match, but it's all but sure
you
at this point.
You know what I really want for that? I just wish they'd go, just put them all in a four-way for the number one contendership. Tapos na tayo for SummerSlam.
Yeah, why not?
You save time.
Four. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, you allow for more opportunities for things to be done.
Yep.
At this point, who would you peg as the pre-show match? Because I'm putting my money on the tag team championships being dumped on the pre-show.
I don't think so. Not this time.
No, at this point, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so you can't put Amel on the pre-show.
You're not going to put Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in the pre-show either.
Yeah.
Maybe Sheamus.
No. Mr. Money in the Bank on the pre-show?
Not going to happen. See, Seth never got that treatment. Neither did Ziggler or Bryan, diba?
What's Wade Barrett doing?
He's in the Amel match.
Oh, yeah.
Diba? Parang wala eh.
Parang wala eh.
What, Divas in the pre-show? Puta, mag-give Divas a chance na naman yan. At that point.
No, I can see one Divas match happening in the pre-show if they're going to have two. But at this point, we don't even know what they're doing it.
No, the Divas have a three-way, three-team match. Elimination match.
Jesus. Lana, for what?
Lana, what's his name? Lana.
No, Dolph is appearing after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're
unless he makes a surprise appearance next
so
week.
So Lana Summer Rae is not happening at the pre-show. Tag team.
No way at this point, is happening in the pre-show.
Diba?
Please, no.
It looks like fatal four-way tag team match is going to be bumped at the pre-show.
No, it's fine. You give them enough time. Because there are four teams. They have, 20 minutes to work on the pre-show.
And it's an elimination match.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. So,
it feels right.
I think at this point, because you're looking at the pre-show as a demotion,
which it is nominally.
Nominally, yes, but when you consider the kind of stuff that can go on in the pre-show
and how much time you actually do have, yeah.
Actually, when the pre-show started being broadcast, but at the dark match,
an extra hour for
an extra.
Pay-per-view?
Yeah, it's an extra.
Technically, it's like what the pay-per-view is now 5 hours.
Yeah. And ever since they started showing pre-shows on the WWE Network, naririnig din yan.
Oh, God.
Napipick up. Even when you scratch, napipick up din siya.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway. What was that? Oh, ever since they started showing the pre-show on the WWE Network, we've been actually getting quality matches featuring the likes of Barrett, Sheamus, Cesaro.
Yeah.
So it's not so much to complain about. It's just that, you know, when you have such a stacked card, medyo naalangan kan parang, I kind of don't want to see this on the pre-show. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's not indeed.
What are you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say that maybe the pre-show would be here's a good match or a match some people would like to see but others won't.
Yeah,
like a technical match that
not necessarily a lower card match that others might want to see, but others then don't want to see.
Uh huh.
So you it's like put not it essential there, so you to get the big, it out of the way.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not so essential
whoever,
to the big
yeah, whoever
picture.
Wants to watch it will watch in the pre-show.
Which is kind of sad, though, don't you think?
But people do watch the pre-show.
Yeah, it makes the pre-show like what? A really legitimate extra hour of the pay-per-view.
But it has been. They have their own vignettes now. And they have the panel discussion and... Wait, maybe one good match.
Yeah, but they do have those video packages na, you know, would get replayed on the main show anyway. Like, I would say that the only time the pre-show was really like sobrang wow, tangana, can't miss in recent pay-per-views was WrestleMania when you had the armbar and the tag team championship match in the pre-show.
Which was surprising.
I think at this point, the pre-show is just a marketing tactic nga to...
Hype.
No, not the hype, pero parang it's an extra hour of the pay-per-view, but avoiding saying that the pay-per-view is either 4 or 5 hours.
Kasi sobrang tune-out factor.
Yeah, in fact, oh my God, I have to watch a pay-per-view for 4 hours. But I only used to do that at WrestleMania.
Right, right.
Now you have to do it for every show.
Exactly. Yeah, so for those who want to watch it, okay, you can watch it. You're not going to miss anything important.
Yeah.
But if you... I don't know. Yeah, you know, I already said it.
Right. Sheamus Deloy. John Cena and Seth Rollins is set for SummerSlam. It's been confirmed.
He's been medically cleared.
Yeah, he's been medically cleared. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay.
Okay.
It's not
good. It was unfortunate, though. But it worked out for Rollins well.
Yeah. He gets
really
the match.
Did, yeah.
He gets the match. He looks more vicious. He looks stronger coming into this thing than he did at, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
But are we scared still about the possibility of John Cena winning both championships?
I mean, this is where the gear comes
in.
Okay.
We're talking about the doomsday scenario wherein Super Cena becomes
double champion.
Jay Lethal.
No, wait. First of all.
Jay Lethal White. There.
No, first of all, what is more scary? The fact that Cena might win, or the scenario that Cena wins, or Sheamus cashes in and wins.
Ako yung the scenario that Cena wins.
Really?
Kasi the scenario that Cena wins.
I would rather have Cena be double champion than have Sheamus be champion.
Okay, in
parang lesser of two evils.
I think that Sheamus being champion will be saved for later in the year, like. Probably
when?
No,
that's the thing. It's if you're gonna do shock value, if they're going for shock value, now is the time.
But why Sheamus and why at SummerSlam? You get what I mean? Because see, Seth Rollins, because, you could understand it. Now he was a star that they could push for the future. Pero si Sheamus, he's just reserve bullet siya. You know what I mean? Yung parang pwede mo lang ilabas at i-plug and play as champion kung kailan mo trip. Pero I don't think SummerSlam is that time.
Me neither, but. We don't follow WWE logic, but we don't understand it. So I'm only assuming that this is happening. Because if I don't, first of all, are we really believing that Rollins will walk away as double champion?
No,
I'm not.
No,
why?
The reason. How? Okay, my How? Reason is if they're gonna make him double champion and they're gonna do it now, and Sheamus, okay. Sheamus. Let's take out Sheamus from the picture first. Let's play with the three scenarios of... Okay, no cash-in situation. Let's discuss it. Let's go all out for this already.
First,
Cena wins. We've touched on that a bit. If Cena leaves as double champion, what's the point of this shirt?
That's one theory.
Yeah, but also, at the same time, how inane is it to have Cena as double champion... To be the first man to do it, to be the first, you know, all of these firsts
why would
for
you
him.
Have a shirt, though? That's 15 times.
But the biggest thing is, why would you print a shirt so soon if that was.
Oh, no, right.
And that's big picture. That's big picture argument.
Counter argument. Why are we thinking so much about the goddamn t shirt?
Because merch sales.
No. Not just that. There's a precedent. It happened for WrestleMania. He made a new shirt with a U.S. title.
That's one thing. It's a thing. He kept it for so long, so that sales.
Wait, was the shirt released before Mania?
After.
Right after. The Raw after Mania.
He had a new shirt.
Ah, that means it was already premeditated and planned.
Yes.
Right.
So
ni president kan.
The shirt predetermines the outcome.
Yeah, if you have that kind of info on the shirt, like 15 times or the championship belt.
It's a dead giveaway. And the thing is. Cena merch moves.
That's true.
Right. Like a motherfucker. And we know
so
that.
Why would you waste it?
Why would you waste? Yeah,
why would you waste a print run?
And not just
15
not,
times.
And not just a print run, you know, that is insignificant. Because the fact that they print out 15 times means he's not winning this one. You're keeping it away from him for a while. Because, good Lord, a John Cena print run is at least...
2-3 months.
I think the main question of logic is, regardless of whether he's winning or losing, why come up with a shirt with this info right before the show?
I don't know.
And that's a big thing, because...
I don't know, whose idea was this?
But what if the t-shirt is a red herring?
No. It's never... It's a money issue at the end of the day. I mean, MDJ's talked about it on Best for Business that t-shirt sales do influence outcomes, popularity, and it gauges, and it's a real thing.
And it's not like real sports like the NBA Finals or the Super Bowl where each team's fan base has a shirt ready to come out in case the team wins.
It's not like that. Because in this sport, everything is premeditated.
Exactly.
With the exception of John Cena's nose breaking.
Yeah. So, why would you waste money, you say, on something you can control?
Exactly. So, logic, big picture logic, already eliminates that scenario.
And
I'm frugal
as Vince.
Yeah.
And as he's bleeding money because of Hogan.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So we.
Okay. That's eliminated. That's scenario number one. That's out of the picture. Cena does not win. Like, that is the least obvious scenario.
Scenario two is Seth wins.
That's a headache in itself. I don't mind. But then, playing a former ROH champion in a blatantly ROH move.
Yeah.
Is petty as fuck, and that's as low. It works. It works. But it's just such a low blow.
No, here's the thing, though. The majority of the WWE universe will not know that it's an ROH move.
Because I didn't know.
Because I don't watch ROH.
You don't watch ROH. I know.
Even though the majority of Rollins fans will know, because I'm sure they watch ROH.
They know that he was Tyler Black.
No, not just that. I'm sure they know the goings on of ROH.
But the thing is, if Vince is willing to stick it to ROH that hard, good God, not only is if the only reason for him booking this entire feud is to stick it to ROH, that is petty as fuck.
I'm not going to say this just to be anti-Cena winning, but I'm going to say this because it sounds like a good idea.
It is. Because what?
Putting Rollins in that position falls in line with recent SummerSlam booking.
That's true.
Shocking. Yeah. Last year, you had Brock squashing Cena.
And then the year before, you had Daniel Bryan winning, and then Orton cashing in.
Yeah. So why not do... If they did something radical with this...
They're going to pull the trigger here.
It follows the pattern.
But wouldn't the pattern also be followed if you had scenario number three with Sheamus cashing in?
No. We're not talking about that yet.
Scenario number three
is a double X out. Nobody wins.
Okay, yeah.
Interference from somebody. Okay,
I think that's the most plausible scenario.
In wrestling WWE logic, that is a very plausible scenario.
A
no contest, no winner. But for what reason?
The best way to do no winner is double count out.
Okay,
double count out. Because it's not the main event.
Yeah.
So there's space to do. You're right. It's possible because it's not the main event. There's space to do a flat ending without sending the crowd home sad.
Exactly. And it opens up the possibility for a new feud for both of these
guys. Yeah.
Right.
And the best way to do a no winner scenario is double count out.
Why not introduce another player?
Who?
I don't know. Introduce somebody.
DQ, it's not as clean as...
No, run-in and DQ are cheap ways to finish a match.
Returning Kane.
No.
Kane's coming back on the Raw after SummerSlam. The double count-out, you can spin it in so many ways. You can execute it in so many ways.
Yeah.
It tells a story well. Mm-hmm. It's not as cheap as DQ.
That's the word. It doesn't feel like a cop out.
If Cena and Rollins get lost in the crowd fighting, and then they both get counted out, it doesn't make him look weak.
And it
just makes him look unaware of the
situation. Which will need to have a match escalation for the next pay per view, which we've seen done to death. Mm. A million times over.
Which is fine, because you don't want a feud of this magnitude with stakes this high just ending in one program. Right?
Yes, no, but at the same time, it's a program that necessitates something to happen. You can't have a non-finish, which brings us to situation X, which is Sheamus cashing in.
Sheamus cashing in, I think it doesn't happen.
It's a scenario.
But I think it's also one that's not likely to happen. It's as unlikely to happen as John Cena winning both the U.S. and the WWE championships, just because yung sinabi ko nga kanina na they have Sheamus as a reserve bullet that they can plug and play as world champion anytime they want. But I don't think they're going to pull that trigger right now. I think that this is a move na mas gagawin pa nila fourth quarter of 2015 when they've run out of options, similar to when they pulled the trigger on Daniel Bryan from 2011. Because if you recall, diba, Bryan became world champion after Mark Henry got injured. Mm. And
Big Show won.
Yeah, Big Show won. But they didn't want Big Show to be the champion, so they had no options aside from Daniel Bryan and his briefcase. So kaya siya naging champion. So I think ito rin yung case with Sheamus. As much as the IWC gives him shit for being supposedly a Triple H favorite, I think dito lang si Sheamus right now. Eh. He's not going to be the Randy Orton.
Oh yeah,
of
I get you.
This
get
SummerSlam.
You, yeah.
But the thing is, Sheamus cashing in feels. I mean, if he does something during his match, with whatever that match may be, as it is still undetermined as of recording. It may give him reason or, you know, something, motivation maybe, to go for Cena.
You know, mas nagustuhan ko pa yung ending ng Raw in the sense na John Cena wasn't in the picture. You had a match between Randy Orton and Seth Rollins, and then Sheamus messed up the finish kasi it opens up the door for both Orton and Sheamus to challenge Rollins.
Yeah.
So it could have set up a triple threat between all three guys, or yung isa pang scenario na Orton versus Sheamus for the number one contendership against the winner of Rollins Cena. It could have been good in that respect. So yon. Any other thoughts about on like yung possible scenarios like fantasy booking this shit or implications?
I just want to let it play out. To be honest with you, actually, I was interested in. I kind of wished Cena wasn't cleared yet, just to see what they would do with it.
Yeah.
But I understand that they needed him either
right.
way.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm good. It's just... Okay, so lightning round, what scenario would you want to go for?
Obviously, Rollins winning.
Yeah, Rollins winning.
Rollins winning. But the realistic situation is...
No finish.
No finish, but I... think it's possible then that Rollins does win.
For me, the no finish makes the most sense, but my gut says they pulled the trigger with Rollins just because.
All right.
Yung parin, yung shirt parin.
The shirt is the dead
giveaway. No, it baffles the mind why they would do that.
Right. So close
win,
to SummerSlam.
Win or lose, it baffles the mind.
What if they pulled it out the Raw right after SummerSlam?
Yung pwede pa.
Pwede pa. But if it no, just feels off, that's the thing. Yeah. It
no,
feels
thing.
So off.
It tells me that Cena isn't winning, no matter what.
Uh huh.
It's just weird that they would do it.
Ngayon.
Give a result away.
Yeah.
Before the show.
Okay. You've got a better pulse on the internet wrestling community than either of us here.
Oh.
Are there other people who are talking about this possibility or this fail? Itong supposed leak.
No, I haven't actually heard. It hasn't made waves yet. Maybe, possibly because
we're the only conspiracy.
No. He hasn't shown up on Raw with it yet.
Yeah, but he showed up on Tough Enough.
Yeah, but you know,
Tough Enough is non-canon.
No, it's not the point. It's just that I don't know. I haven't seen anyone talk about it.
Wow. Okay. This surprises me because I would have expected people to actually talk about it. You know what I mean?
Me too. But they're still talking about how terrible Tough Enough is.
Right. Okay. Tough Enough, they're down to like final five. Two women and three men.
Does it even matter?
No.
None of them are going to make a roster. Some of them might show up on NXT.
One guy might. See, Josh. I actually like his chances. But anyway, I'd rather not talk about Tough Enough. We're going to take a quick breather, and then when we come back, we'll be talking to our guests for this week. We got the PWR champion, Classical Brian Leo, and the jack of all trades of the Royal Flush, Cutthroat John Sebastian. Right after that interview, we'll be talking about Mark D. Manalo, or we'll be talking to Mark D. Manalo of Beer Prom D.
Talking about him, too.
that's a very good point, Camus. And when we wrap this baby up, we'll be giving you our picks of the week. And we'll see you at PWR Live right after that.
Stay tuned!
episode 73 of the SGP podcast rolls on. It's PWR week on the show, and what better way to kick off PWR week than with the Philippine Wrestling Revolution champion himself, Classical Brian Leo of the Royal Flush.
Hello, I'm sure it is a pleasure for you to have me back. I miss you, Ro.
I miss you too, Brian Leo.
What, no love for the guy who signs your paychecks?
Oh, man, I love you for your money, but I assure you it is a love that will never die.
How about love for your announcer, the guy who announced your victory at Revolution X as the second ever PWR champion?
That must have been your greatest moment, just announcing Classical Brian Leo as the new PWR champion. And wasn't it great that JDL as the first inaugural PWR champion, yet also the shortest reigning PWR champion? Can you imagine that?
Well, we've only had two, so...
Yep, and you're only gonna need two, baby.
So, also joining Brian Leo tonight inside the podcast, we've got his perfect 10. Tama ba? Perfect 10?
No, man. That was
Max.
Max.
Oh, that's Max. He's the jack of all trades.
That's
why he doesn't love you.
Yeah. Anyway.
Once again, my love for your money will never die.
They call him the jack of all trades. Cutthroat John Sebastian is also here with us inside the podcast.
Hey, what's up, San? What's up, bro? Hey, Camus, I heard you got fired from your announcing job.
Oh, shit.
Was it because Stan found your stash of homosexual gorilla porn? Come on, man. Come on. It's all right. You know, I told you before, you don't have to go gorilla. There's a lot of big man homosexual porn out there.
Must you mention bestiality in this thing, man? I mean, really?
Wait, do
it's
we...
the one thing we haven't touched on.
I'm actually not sure if we're breaking it, but I guess
we broke it now.
Yeah.
Actually, we were saving this for the end of the show. I will no longer be continuing as PWR's announcer.
For a moment there, I thought you were coming out, man.
No, well, we'll touch on that later. I mean, let's not make this about me. We're here to talk to you guys. So,
hey, we'll
How's it been? I mean, how's it been since the last time we saw you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, yeah.
I mean, they were on the radio earlier. We're recording this on Thursday night.
On
they were,
live radio, can you imagine that?
On nationwide radio.
Nationwide? Wait. The reach of 94.7 is nationwide?
Yes. Man.
Over the internet. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Over the internet.
It's 2015.
Yeah, by the way, live radio. So, to my old high school, suck on that!
So, how was it to... Wow. No, I think it was John Sebastian's first ever time to go on live national radio. So, how was it being on radio without being able to cuss?
Oh, man, I wanted to cuss so bad. I have a potty mouth, I'll admit that, and I wanted to cuss Bombay out so much. There were tears coming out of my face.
He was really at loss for words, not because he didn't have any words to say, he just couldn't say them. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But once again, how was your time, brother? Fun time, right?
To be honest with you, after Revo X, there was like a month just training, because I know I was going to piss Bombay off with the crap I pulled. And the crap I pulled again, and again, and again, and again.
You have to give it to John Sebastian for having a degree of self-awareness. Like, he knew he was in trouble.
Yeah.
He was in for something.
Yeah, I was training. I was training on the mountains, in the fields, you know, carry. Of course I didn't train on the fields. Come on. I wasn't carrying water up the stairs.
Of course not, because there were too many typhoons around the country for you to be training in the fields, man. Come on, man. Look. A lot of you might think that, you know, Bombay Sports is going to kill a bitch. No. They say he's the heart and soul of PWR. I promise you, John Sebastian will take his heart, rip it into 20 pieces, and put it in his dirty mouth and have him shit it out.
Wow.
That's vicious. That's a visual image
I don't want to see.
Of course, because Bombay looks disgusting.
Yeah. He's going to go back to the bridge, under the bridge where he lives, you know, feed.
What, feed. Under the other team?
Well, is it the LRT? I thought it was always near the Pasig River.
That's the MRT.
My bad. Sorry.
Well, you can never differentiate the dirty modes of transportation anyway.
Wait, I want to ask, since it's the first time we'll have John Sebastian back on the podcast.
In quite some time.
Since his first appearance,
since his first appearance against Ralphie Mabayashi at...
Before Revolution X.
I just want to ask, how early did you guys plan to do the ending or the game plan to get Brian Leo the
the championship.
Oh yeah, let's get this trending. Let's call it the Revolution X happy ending.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, hashtag,
God.
Hashtag Revolution X happy ending.
I have a happy trail for a reason, and it led to a very big happy ending.
So let's get into that. I mean, we know that was premeditated.
Oh, was that
to
the
some
plan?
Degree.
Ever since, in the event Brian Leo won, which he did, the match against Mayhem Brannigan?
Well,
or was it a spur-of-the-moment thing that night?
I wouldn't want to say it was a spur-of-a-moment thing, but once again, going into that thing, I didn't know I was going to get a chance to wrestle for the title. When I had the chance, you know, we were thinking of as many loopholes as we could to actually take the advantage and put the title around someone with class. Because if you look at that main event, as great of a match as it was, great match, really incredible match. In the end, that title wasn't meant to go to them. Look at them. I mean, look at Bombay. I mean, if you look at the difference between a bucket of shit and Bombay, you know what the big difference is? You look at the bucket. That's it. Okay.
You know what? I've been trying to get Brian Leo in the podcast for quite some time because I just have to get this out. As a promoter, it really pissed me off that you invoked your championship match right then and there. Could you not have given me any time to at least promote a good match between you and JDL?
Let me explain this. All right. Fine. I can understand. As a promoter, you have every right to be upset. But look at it this way. Put yourself in my position knowing you could have had at any time you wanted it.
And that's your fault.
Those are your words.
Those were your words. Wouldn't you have done what I did? Honestly. Take nothing away from those two. Take nothing away from me. But if you were me,
right,
would you not have done what I did?
No, I totally agree that you made sense from where you were coming from. It's just, you know, from a business standpoint, it really hurts me.
In your business standpoint, but not in mine. My bank account increased. My t-shirt sales went up when I won that thing. You kidding me, man? I made tons of money when I won that. That was a smart thing on my end.
So let's fast forward. PWR Live happening in 2 days from the time we're recording this. What's on your mind as you prepare to take on JDL in your first official championship defense?
Well, the first ever championship. Second ever.
Yeah, because, you know, the first one didn't go so well, right? For some people. Did it, John?
Oh, of course not. It was horrible for JDL. It was horrible what happened after they put their bodies on the line, battered and bruised, while they were using their muscles and their bodies. We were using the most important muscle of the body, the brain.
Yeah, the brain is not a muscle. It's an organ.
It's an organ, yeah.
I have an organ.
I'm sure you do, John. Right, so going back, you know, before John Sebastian took this interview to a very immature level, what's on your mind as you prepare for this rematch against JDL? How are you preparing to take on the Señorito?
The same I always do. Prepare to win. That's what I always do. I always prepare to win. I never go in there pretending I'm going to do my best to get the best out of myself. No, I'm going there to win. I'm going to walk in as champion. I'm going to walk out as champion as by any means necessary. And I will do it any way I need to. Cheat or whatever. I will do what I have to do to win.
So you've said you're coming in with a game plan to win.
Yes.
Do you have a plan B?
Plan B? No, there is no plan B because I'm going to win.
Okay. No, but I really have to ask. Are you prepared for just JDL? Because you never know. You never know. Bombay might come out. Things like that might go
down.
Out? Shit.
You mean the guy who got buried in chairs in the last show?
He's coming out. He's coming out.
What's you sing?
No, but think about it. Think about it. Voice. You have the target on your back right now. You have made zero friends outside of John Sebastian, Scarlett, and Main Max, who we're not even sure if he's coming to the show.
That's not true. Ken Warren is a very good friend.
Very good.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. So we're going there. We're going there.
No. Yes. No.
Okay. So, okay. You have a friend in Ken Warren. How many people are you going to screw over just to get what you want?
As many as I need to. And simply because, like I said, this is a business. And I'm looking out for my best interests. For myself and the flesh's best interests.
All right. Let's talk to John Sebastian because I know that there's a lot on his mind as well. We've mentioned the fact that he's got some beef with Bombay Suarez. They're going to be duking it out in a grudge match at PWR Live. And how does it feel to have to go up against the guy who trained you, basically, and taught you everything you know inside the ring?
Yeah. To be honest with you, Bombay taught me some things, like, you know, improper body hygiene, for one thing. But to be honest with you, I've known a lot of things. I've spent some time in Japan, you know. But here's the thing. You have Bombay. Some people, like Smart Henry, put it this way. Bombay was master, I'm student. In the same way, I'm a PlayStation 4. Bombay is an Atari. An old, broke-ass Atari. Yeah, and I'm gonna put Bombay and his teaching skills and everything he taught me, I'm going to put them all where they belong, in the toilet. And then I'm going to flush it. And then I'm going to laugh. But let's be serious for a moment. Bombay is going to be a big challenge. I've been training because I know he was going to challenge me. He was going to be so pissed. And that's the only reason why I'm not on PHX. Because, to be honest with you, I could have made weight if I wanted to. But I had to deal with Bombay.
But did you know that you were actually going to get into the situation with Bombay when you attacked him? Like, did you ever consider that possibility?
Yeah, to be honest with you, again, as I said, Revolution X, that was business. Right, Brian?
Mm-hmm. Business.
Yeah, that was business. ToyCon, that was pleasure, man. So, yeah.
Stop laughing. We almost had to pay for that Hulkbuster.
Yeah, I was there. I actually had to talk to a lot of people, smooth out some egos, just to make sure that that Hulkbuster didn't get us in trouble, right?
You know, I make a lot of money as champion, but not that much money. Okay, that Hulkbuster looks expensive.
Yeah, so I kind of have to put some of that on you, John Sebastian.
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't break it, though.
No. We did not break it.
We did not break it.
So PWR Live, what else is going through your mind as, you know, we're only 2 days away, and aside from the PHX tournament and the big championship rematch at PWR Live, your match is one of the main attractions on the card. How does that make you feel?
To be honest with you, I'm so scared. I'm shaking my little space boots. I'm going to go up against the bitch killer. No, I'm not. I'm going to come in. I'm going to beat up Bombay, slap him around some, you know, bring him near the chick so he can be near a woman for once. And then I'm going to slap him around some more, put his ass back in the ring, hit him with a kill shot. Maybe hit him with two. I don't know. Maybe, you know. And then pin him, 1, 2, 3, go back out to the back, have some fun, do some bitches.
Bitches for that. Sorry, no?
And then accompany me to the ring and watch me, front row and center, destroy Jake DeLeon.
To be honest with you, when Kamusa asked if there was a plan B, yeah, there is a plan B. I've planned that far ahead for you, man.
Oh, yeah?
There's a plan B, and that is win some more, baby!
Speaking of win some more, I want to ask, John Sebastian, do you have any plans of competing for the PHX Championship? Pagkatapos ng tournament, mo naman.
To be honest with you, the thought has crossed my mind, bro.
Okay.
The thought has crossed my mind. And then I remember, there is no way in hell that Ken Warren is losing this PHX tournament.
Really? So, yeah. So is it safe to say that Ken Warren is your the both of your picks to win?
Or I would dare say that he's the official bet of the Royal Flush at this point.
Hashtag Team Warren.
Definitely. The Warren would be the ideal member to be in the Flush if he wanted to accept my offer.
So there's an offer. There's an offer on the table.
Exclusive.
Yeah, it's no
breaking news.
It's a secret. The offer has always been there.
All right.
And it will be there till he accepts it. It's only a matter of time. I promise you.
All right. I think Brian Leo made this offer right here in the podcast.
Yes, yeah. I did. If you recall, the very first time we were there.
Right. So for the benefit of listeners who've never heard that episode yet, and for those who've only heard this podcast, this podcast episode, why Ken Warren?
Because he's Ken fucking Warren. Look, like somebody once said, there are two people in this world. Those who like Ken Warren and those who can go fuck themselves.
That sounds like a R. Sangalia quote.
No, that wasn't him.
Okay. Well, sounds like something he would say.
Something he would say, but that's because he's smart. But ideally, look at Warren has it all. I mean, he's got style. He's athletic.
He's a great technician in the ring, a great tactician in the ring. And Warren goes there to win. He knows what business is, and he knows what he has to do to get done. That's pretty much all the qualities that the Flush has.
It's funny that you mentioned that Ken Warren is out there to win, but when you look at his win-loss record, he's only won one match. And according to the Smart Henry PWR heat check, and I just looked this over before Good publishing God. It tonight, Ken Warren's last win on a PWR show was in September 2014 at Renaissance. He hasn't won a match since then, so how can you say that Ken Warren is a winner compared to the rest of the stars on the roster?
Well, you look at it this way. I mean, a lot of people think the moment they lose, they're failures. Sometimes it takes losing to make you more motivated to get what you need. Michael Jordan got cut from a lot of basketball teams before he became the greatest of all time. And I promise you, Ken Warren is definitely one of the best in PWR. And there is no doubt in my mind he will walk out of that tournament as PHX champion.
So why hasn't he said yes to the invitation from the Royal Flush yet?
Well, not everyone can have the best judgment all the time. But he has his reasons, I'm sure, and I think he's probably trying to make himself more worthy to get into the Flush, which I'm sure he will be doing very soon. And once again, as soon as he finds himself worthy, the offer's here.
The question I need to ask, though, is if Ken Warren does accept your invitation, is he coming in as the 10 or as your 9?
He's the 10.
No, because Max is the 10. Sorry. Max is the 10 right now. Is he coming in as a 10 or as a future 9 or an ace even?
Warren will get the spot he deserves whether anyone likes it or not. Whether it be ace, whether it be a 9, whether it be whatever, he will get his spot.
Last question, man.
Yeah, last question.
My last question is to Brian Leo. I've noticed that you've been debuting new moves. Like last show, you debuted the Painful Classical Wreckage. Are we going to see something new on this Saturday?
You look at it this way, man. I mean, the best thing a fighter can be is unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
The more you have to show, the harder it is to predict how to train for a person. At this point, I know JJ is going to be coming at me with a leap and drop, probably. Mm-hmm. Going to try to do all those cartwheels, all of that flippy stuff, whatever. He can cartwheel all around the ring for all I care. It doesn't change the fact I will trip him and take the title.
All right, fair enough. Thank you very much. Our first guests for this week's episode of the SGP Podcast, Classical Brian Leo, your PWR champion, and Cutthroat John Sebastian, both of them from the Royal Flush. We'll see you boys on Saturday.
And it is for your own good.
All right, we got to thank the PWR champion, Classical Brian Leo, and Cutthroat John Sebastian for joining us this week on the podcast. Now, let's clarify some things first, and this is something I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to wear both hats here, not just as podcast host, but as the GM of PWR. Let's clarify the terms of being a competitor in the Philippine Hybrid X Division.
Which, you know, we're about to talk to a guy who might just qualify for it, Mr. Mark Di Manalo, waiting outside.
Yeah, for as long as he makes the weight. Because the thing about the PHX division is there has to be a
target weight.
Right. The target weight is 180 pounds, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyone... So that qualifies for... It's not really a cruiserweight type of thing, right?
No, it's not. No.
It's even lighter than cruiserweight.
Right. Because if you remember the cruiserweight rules in WWE, it was 220 pounds.
But we're Asian.
Yep.
That's also true. Genetics has failed us. The one thing that separates...
We're not genetically inferior. It's just
something. Normal for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to, you know, make our bones yet so far.
One thing that we have to straighten out about the Philippine Hybrid X Division is all styles are welcome. It's the reason why the operative term is hybrid.
Kahit si AJ Styles.
Yeah. All styles are welcome.
Joey Styles.
Oh, pwede rin yun.
No, but I mean...
Shaira Styles.
Hey! That took me longer than...
Porn reference. Yeah, Jesus Christ. That was like a beat. Too long.
Anyway,
well, I mean, the biggest reason that people should be watching it is because of it's the clash of styles.
Yun.
Right. So that's going to happen at PWR Live. Now, enough about us rambling on about PHX. Let's talk to another one of the competitors who will be joining us and who we'll be seeing live right in front of us. Beer Prom D's Mark D. Manalo and Mike Abayan will join us in just a bit. Our second guest this week inside the podcast is another friend of the SGP podcast team. He's also Micah Babayan and one of the most popular stars of Philippine Wrestling Revolution, hailing from San Juan, Batangas. Mark D. Manalo of Beer Promdi is inside the booth. How's it going, MDM?
Ayos lang naman ikaw. Kamusta ka, kabayan? Ro?
Kamusta, kamusta?
Kamus, kamusta ka dyan?
Chika pala?
Ha?
Yung chika pala?
Alay,
kabayan mo si
hindi ako taga-China, taga-Batangas ako. Taga-Batangas din yan, di ba?
Yeah, I'm also from San Juan, Batangas. Kaya nga kabayan ko si Mark D. Manalo. So anong bago sa'yo since Revolution X? It's been 3 months since hindi ka naming nakita. So anong bago?
Anong bago? Medyo natututo na ako dito sa Maynila. Ayun, nakasakay ako ng tren.
Aling tren?
MRT, daming tao. Nang papasok ang estudyante, lalabas ka mandirigma.
Mabuti, DPNR yung sinakyan mo.
Ay, nako, baka Spartan na ako dun pag ganun.
So, kumusta naman si Canto Terror? Anong nagawa niya para sa'yo habang you're getting used to yung buhay dito sa Maynila?
Pwede ba yung sabihin dito? Kasi parang ano yun eh. Beer house.
Sige, pwede. Oh,
pwede.
Yun nga, lagi siya nainom. Tapos minsan, iimbita ako. Tapos yun, pupunta kami. Pero konting inom lang kasi kailangan ng tagatid eh. Minsan pa, nag-aamok yun. Kaya, ayun.
So, ilang patayos hindi na kayo na blacklist?
Hindi ko alam eh. Siya lang na ba-blacklist, hindi ako. Kasi, alam mo naman ako, mabait naman akong tao eh. Medyo may pagka-inusente pa ako, kaya siya lang yung naipag-away, hindi ako.
Pag-usapan natin yung huli yung match ni Canto Terror nung Revolution X. Natalo niyo, dalawang team.
Yeah. That was the first ever three-way elimination tag match at nagwagi kayo laban sa Fighters for Hire at sa DualShock. So, ano yung naramdaman ninyo nung nanalo kayo nung match na yun?
Sa totoo lang, nagulat ako. Siyempre, dalawang tag team yun na magagaling. Tita mo, si Sandata, si Peter Versosa. Dalawang athletic tsaka magagaling lumipad. Tapos yung Fighters for Hire. Walang awa yun. Kita mo ba ginawa sa akin ni Miguel Rosales?
Actually, yeah, I was about to bring that up. Pare, you got hit a lot match.
Maraming slam yun.
You got hit hard that match. Yeah. How is your body after such a grueling match? Because, you know, somebody goes through a match like that, medyo mahirap mag-recover ka agad. Sa but totoo, three months, how are you doing?
Sa totoo lang, may mga ano pa rin eh. May bakas pa rin ng kahapon. Ano mo yun? Parang pag humihiga ako, parang nararamdaman ko. Hawak-hawak ako sa bewang ni Miguel. Tapos bigla na may babalibag eh. Alam mo yun?
Kabayan ang lalim nun ah. May bakas pa ng kahapon.
Eh, ganun talaga. Kung dito sa Maynila, may tawag na hugot ako, bakas ng kahapon. Diba?
Yeah. Hashtag na natin.
Hashtag na natin.
Speaking of bakas ng kahapon, nung una kang nakilala ng mga PWR fans, isa ka lang audience member, diba? Tapos tinawag ka ni Canto Terror para maging partner niya. Ngayon, fast forward tayo sa PWR Live. Magkakaroon tayo ng Mark D. Manalo Bootcamp Invitational. Lumapit ka sa akin at nagpresenta ka para sabihin sa akin na gusto mong i-challenge ang isang bootcamper na sa tingin mo ay worthy na para ma-call up sa main roster. So, ano naman ang nakain mo at naisip mo? At gusto mong maghamon ng bootcamper?
Yeah, because you know, you have two bootcampers in the room right now.
Oo nga.
And we've been giving it a lot of thought, pare.
Hindi injured kay.
No, this is why. But I gave it thought before.
Bago ka na-injure.
Bago ka na-injure. Okay, but ikaw, you have one good bootcamper.
Isip ko nga eh.
Sayang ka, Musat, hindi ka makakasali, no? At si Romeo, kailan ka ba ka-graduate, ha?
Hindi ko alam, papi.
Maybe this is your time.
Oo nga, baka ito na yun eh.
It's time to step up, dog.
baka ito na nga. Pwede ba? Kahit ano.
Pwede. Kahit sino pwede. Walang limitasyon to. Basta nasa bootcamp ka, nagpa-enlista ka sa bootcamp, walang problema doon. Alam mo, Mr. C, pasensya ka na.
Okay lang.
Close naman kayo eh.
Hindi, cordial naman tayo. May respeto naman, kaya pinahihintulutan ko na tawagin mo ako sa akin, na gamit ang aking pangalan.
Ayun nga, Stan, tawag dito. Kaya ako naisipang mag-imbita o maghamon na isang bootcamper eh. Dahil nakikita ko rin yung sarili ko sa kanila. Alam mo yun, pagkatapos mo ako i-sign ng kontrata, nag-bootcamp din ako. Kasama ko yung ano, yung tarantadong John Sebastian na yan. Yung magaling na si Ralph Mabayasi, yung ganda ng RKO. Ayun na, Sonic Crusher.
Sonic Crusher. It's still an RKO.
Yun nga. Tapos si Peter Bersosa, si Sandata, kabatch ko rin yun. Medyo late nga lang akong enrollee, kumbaga, sa bootcamp.
Late registration.
Oh, pero yun, ganun pa man, yun nga, nakita ko sarili ko sa kanila. Kaya kung yung PWR binigyan ako ng oportunidad, na isang hamak lang na fan, actually, lahat ng fans natin, hindi hamak ako lang nun. So,
That's true.
Kung nabigyan ako ng oportunidad, bakit hindi yung mga bootcamper natin, di ba? Alam mo, tawag nga ni Jake De Leon at Bombi dito paying your dues. Tapos na sila doon. At kailangan na nilang mag-step up para mapunta naman sa main roster. At ito yung paraan ko ng pagbibigay ng pabor sa nagawa sa akin ng PWR para magbigay ng oportunidad sa kanila. Yan.
So, MDM, I have to ask. Bilang nanonood ka ng bootcamp, do you have a bootcamper that you'd want to face?
Magandang tanong yan.
Our listeners may not know, but the bootcampers listen to the show. Who would you want to call out, kumbaga?
Ayoko sa pangalanan, pero siguro kilala na niya sarili niya May kilala ako, Kambal. Di ba nakita niya yes. Kambal nandun kayo. Yung Kambal, ang gagaling. Athletic yung dalawang yon. Tapos meron pa dun. Malaki siya.
Diba kamukha ni Panday?
Oo.
Oh, shit! Pero totoo, okay.
Yun. Magaling sila. Basta, kahit sino, wala. Kumbaga, yun lang yung mga naging recognizable para sa akin. Pero, lahat sila, masipag, magagaling, at ito na ata yung panahon nila, kaya binigay ko nga ito.
Hindi ka ba natatakot sa posibilidad na yung bootcamper na to na hindi pa nakakapag-compete sa harap ng audience, magkaroon ng upset victory? Kasi nakita na natin to in wrestling history, there have been instances na mayroong mga fans or mga rookies who would come out and they will win their first match. Katulad ni Paige, katulad ni Christian, katulad ni Carlito, even someone like Santino Marella. So hindi ka ba natatakot na magkaroon ka ng ganong klaseng moment dahil sa bootcamp invitational na to?
Kaya nga, naghahanda rin ako Kung iniisip ng karamihan na hindi ako naghahanda, nagte-training ako. Kaya sisiguraduhin ko na hindi ako magpapadayag. At doon sa bootcamper na yun, sana bigyan niya yung mga fans. Bigyan natin yung mga fans ang isang magandang laban. Kaya manalo man ako, matalo, wala. Hindi yun importante, pero para sa akin, kung manalo man siya sa akin, at least kung nanalo siya, edi nasa ano, kumbaga pagdating na araw, edi sabihin niya, ay natalo ko 'yan nung una kong ano, at kung matalo man siya, maging sport na lang siya, ganun din naman ako.
All right, now just a couple of questions before we let Mark Di Manalo go. Let's start off with this one question about the future of Beer Prom D. Kasi nung Revolution X, sinabi ninyo, nung nanalo kayo sa elimination tag match, na handa na kayong maging isang tag team that will represent PWR. Gusto ninyong maging future PWR tag team champions. Habang wala pang PWR tag team championship, you have the opportunity to lead a division. Are you and Canto Terror ready to be the faces of that division?
Lagi kaming panalo simula nung nagsimula yung taon.
To win winning streak.
Yeah, tama. Ayun. So, kaya hindi lang yun, kumbaga, hindi lang yung parang outburst lang na nasabi ko, gusto namin maging tag team champions, handa na kami. Pero sa totoo lang, handa na kami kasi yung kita mo yung chemistry namin, parang ano na, nabuo na yun. Tama, salamat. Yun. Tapos, sa division na to, marami pang mga taong masasali sa tag team division at handang-handa kami sa kanila.
Sinong, okay, so na pag-usapan natin tag team division, yung PHX naman, talaga bang hindi makasali si Mark Di Manalo sa PHX division, Mr. C?
Well, I've already gone through the spots and si Mark Di Manalo naman talaga yung nauna at nagpresenta na gusto niya magkaroon ng bootcamp invitation.
Yeah, pero in the future, pwede ba siya?
So, you know, ako wala naman akong restrictions eh sa pagsali sa PHX for as long as you make the weight, kahit na you're going to lose weight or you're going to bulk up, as long as you make the weight, you can be part of the PHX division. So, Mark Di Manalo, whoever wins the tournament and the championship, if you want to be part of the PHX division, the invitation will always be open.
Sa ngayon, sinong manok mo sa PHX tournament?
Ay nako, yung tatlo kong kaibigan kasali rin eh. Si ano, si Mayhem Branigan, Chris Panzer, tsaka si Ralph Mabayashi. So, yung tatlong yun, kahit sinong manalo sa kanila, kumbaga tatlong manok ko dun.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark Di Manalo from Beer Prom D. We'll see you on Saturday, PWR Live for the Mark Di Manalo Bootcamp Invitational. Maraming salamat, kabayan.
Maraming salamat din at maraming salamat, Ro, Camus.
We're almost about done with episode 73 of the SGP podcast. Once again, we got to thank our boys from PWR, the champ, Brian Leo, Cutthroat John Sebastian, and Mark Di Manalo for stopping by to give us one last look inside their heads right before we head on over to PWR Live this Saturday, August 15 at Makati Cinema Square. But before we end the podcast for reals, we got to give you our picks of the week. And if you're new to the segment, it's that time of the week when we pick the match segment promo podcast episode.
Book.
Book. Anything that you've seen that's wrestling related for the week that really just stood out. So let's have Camus over here do his pick of the week first.
My pick of the week is Stephen Amell being on Raw.
Finally, no?
Finally.
Yeah, it finally happened.
And finally.
And he proved why he was fit to a note.
I mean, we've been speculating.
Angle.
We've been speculating for so long. Is he fit? Is he match ready?
I knew he was. No.
That spear alone is evidence enough that he's done something.
Talaga, I was on team weak sauce. I thought that spear was
that
weak.
That was not weak.
It was weak.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Okay, it's not.
No,
it's weak in wrestling terms.
No.
But, wait.
No.
Okay, go. Say your piece first. And I will.
If you look at it as a double leg takedown, yes, it's not weak.
Yes.
But if you look at it as a spear, it wasn't a spear.
It wasn't a spear.
And the thing about calling it what it was is Edge acknowledged it as a spear. And
Stephen Amell called it a spear.
Right. I thought it was a double leg takedown.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
What?
We're judging him based on... Okay. Based on
he didn't guest jump, because you know this.
I know this. He didn't jump, but based on celebrity guest appearances that have been significant enough, seeing a guy who is getting involved in a match do something like that you know we're already discussing something like this. That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, sure.
I still marked out for Jon Stewart more.
No. We're gonna mark out for Jon Stewart more.
The bar is set high by Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fair. That's
Diva Maria Menounos.
Yes.
For divas.
But for men, for superstars,
for male celebrities,
Hugh Jackman is the aspirational. But Stephen Amell,
he has a chance to set the bar higher.
That's the thing, and his double leg takedown spear showed that we have something to be excited for.
Alam mo yun, papi.
He just needs to get a
little bit more hype.
You flip in your sphere. Nakita ko ginabar si Stephen Amell.
No. The best part of his appearance was his rope jump.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
And this is the thing. I think he goes at least 5-10 minutes in this match.
I don't think 10 minutes.
I think he's just coming in for the hot tag and the finish.
5 minutes.
Maybe like a little bit of heat to simula and then the hot tag and the finish.
Further, yeah.
And then Neville works everything.
Five minutes total. Because, okay,
He works with Stardust.
He works with Stardust. That's obvious. Yeah, that's all we need to see. Because, okay, honestly, Stardust versus Neville is going to happen. That's the long-running feud that's going to, you know, spill over. This is gonna be fun. I'm excited.
I just wish he didn't demand for a contract as if he was still looking for Shadow in Lian Yu.
Yeah, you know what I don't get? I don't get why Hunter was being a dick to him.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Siya na nga yung sinakta ni Stardust.
Guess niya yun, di ba? Guess niya.
Tapos siya pa yung nagagali.
Oh, that was weird.
No, this is neutral Hunter who wants Seth Rollins to step up.
No, this is neutral Hunter who's trying to get face reactions by, you know, doing facey groundbreaking things. Right.
Like at the top of the show.
Pero pa siya nagagali yun?
Hindi ko na gets.
Even though he was being a dick for the sake of being a dick.
You know what makes me so happy? You know what makes me so happy? If Diggle and Felicity were at SummerSlam.
Actually, yeah.
That would be a good touch.
Tapos si Diggle yung backup
nila. Oh, dude. Oh. Manager na si David Ramsey na doon sa ringside. Tapos si EBR na sa ringside. In front. Like, may cutaway scene lang sa kanya or something. That would make me happy.
Maganda naman siya. And besides, Arrow could use...
No, EBR is with Targdon. Colton Haynes in real life.
Oh, is she?
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know.
It's kind of sad.
Well, I just started watching Arrow na Makase like last month.
So it doesn't work.
Pero guwapo si ano? Guwapo si Roy Harper. So whatever. Anyway.
Isa pa yung ano, pwede maging wrestler.
Red Arrow eh.
Right.
See, yeah,
right.
No, he has a body for it.
Yeah, he does.
I just don't know if he has the fit, if he's as conditioned as si Papi Stipe.
Right. Okay, you good, Gamos, with your pick?
Yep.
Okay. My pick of the week was the triple threat match. Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton. Mm. I'd like to think they pulled out all the stops for a TV match.
That was actually possibly the best match on the show.
Yeah, I would call it
once again,
the best
match. Cesaro is involved in the best match of the show.
Which is testament to how much he's been putting in.
We should be making a counter, right? Like, 8 weeks running.
Segment.
4 weeks?
Yeah.
Four weeks running. Now, Cesaro's had the best match on the show. Shit.
No, he wasn't. He hadn't had a match last week.
Whatever.
He showed up on Miss TV.
Ah, right.
Which was also a really good segment.
Yeah, it was.
Not the best part, but really good
segment. I like that they're making him come out in the suit now.
Yeah.
Actually, for those of you who don't know.
You should know.
Cesaro stole that shit from Classical Brandio.
That's true. He did. He kind of did.
Look back the tape from Renaissance last year. And he came out in exactly the same suit. And they look alike.
Yeah.
They look alike.
I like
except,
that it reminds
you know, he has
me
a beard now.
It reminds me very much of Jason Statham. Diba? Yung kanyang look with the shades. It was so professional. And it also reminds me of yung article about Cesaro on WWE.com, The Professional. And they should totally milk that gimmick. Because that's Cesaro now.
Good at the end. If you put someone in a suit, halatang you're pushing him. Basta sumusuot siya ng suit.
Okay, let's run down Evolution.
Yeah, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
The Miz.
Not John Cena, because John Cena's always wearing.
Right.
Jorks.
Rollins.
Rollins? Rollins did the suit thing when he got his push.
Right.
Sino ba?
Mark Henry. Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah, Mark Henry. Yeah, that's right.
That's good.
When he got his push. Well, that's a lot. That's a case study.
Well, Matt
in
Hardy had a suit for a while.
When?
In TNA?
MVP had suits.
Yeah.
MVP
suit. Matt Hardy's main event push in ROH. He was wearing a suit.
Oh, yeah, he was. I do actually.
Ethan Carter.
EC3?
EC3.
Hang on, what about MVP's WWE run? He was always in a suit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And for most of his run, he was U.S. champion.
Not really. No.
But that was
okay. When he first debuted, he was working the NFL player gimmick,
right?
Yeah.
So he was wearing a suit.
The bala.
And he would wear. He would go on to win the championship. But I think the more he didn't, the more he got deep pushed, the more he stopped wearing suits.
Yeah.
And he went back to his onesie.
Power Rangers suit.
Actually, that's a good observation. If you wear a suit, you're probably getting a push. Yeah.
Legit.
That's good. I mean, save for that one outlier.
So, si Orton yan, di ba? Hindi na, nung hindi na siya nagsusuit.
Alam mo, jabroni na siya.
Oo.
So, does this apply to PWR, though? Because you were wearing...
He makes the pushes.
He makes the push. So,
Brian Leo's wearing a suit.
Well, no, he wore a suit before. Is this indicatory of... His latent push? Possible. Theories. Oh, well, let's leave it at that. Rob, your pick of the week.
Yeah, my pick of the week
is the other good match from Raw.
Hey, Raw was pretty solid.
Yeah, it was, but I don't mean.
Okay.
The other good match from Raw is the main event, Orton versus Rollins, a second straight championship defense for the man.
on Raw.
It was a good match, pero you can tell, and this is just me nitpicking, Rollins obviously telegraphed the finish.
Yes.
But you do not dive off the top rope leading with your head.
Yeah.
Nobody does that except for Chris Benoit or Daniel Bryan.
Or
even then,
yeah,
those guys play their arms out.
You know what? I just gotta say, na ano, it was good of you to remind me that yung Sheamus cash-in felt weird.
Oh, halatang halata na.
Na nagsistall si referee. Kasi nakita ko siya when I was watching it, and then I just forgot to write it down when I was reviewing.
No, the referee was panicking for some reason.
And like he didn't know what he was supposed to do, diba? Parang hinihintay niya. When's Orton coming in? You could tell that he was waiting for something.
But you could have just easily, he could have easily gone to ringside, had Orton,
called.
No.
Given Orton the time.
The same, it would take him the same time. He, for all I know, he can crawl towards the ringside.
Or pwede mag-usap muna sila ni Lillian Garcia, di ba? Kahit na hindi naman i-announce si Lillian, kunwari nag-usap lang sila, and then bago pa makapag-announce si Lillian, Randy Orton would have come in and done the RKO.
Yeah, anyway, it's no big deal kasi the little angle did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
It just could have been executed better.
Right, right. That's it for cash-in.
Yeah.
Now, before we get out of here and before we thank our friends who've always been very supportive of the podcast, we have a boot camper who has something to get off his chest.
All right. I know John Sebastian preempted it a little earlier. Yep. That one was me. I'm not competing in the boot camp challenge. You can take me off your list of possible guys who's doing that. But you can also take me off your list for the announcer for PWR for the foreseeable future. Replacing me is actually our backstage segment announcer. You may have seen him on the PWR segments lately, Pocholo Estrada. He's going to be taking care of you guys from now on. The reason is I've got a lot on my plate right now. I mean, it's gotten so bad that you may have noticed that a week ago, you may have heard portions of the show that weren't supposed to be in there for Brian Wilson's interview. And for that, I apologize very sincerely. And for other mishaps, because, there's been a lot going on in my personal life. And I know we don't talk about a lot of personal things on this show. We don't get into, our lives. But in this case, I really have to, because my life right now is surrounded by wrestling. My Thursday nights are spent with these two guys, and it's the best part of my week. I spend most of my Friday nights either editing or getting drunk and editing hungover. But that's not the reason that the shows come out a little crappier. I have a lot of business going on in my life. I have a day job. I have boot camp. I have a lot of commitments, and it's been eating up my life, and my work's been suffering. But recently I've discovered that I have a major bone spur in my right ankle, and that has inhibited me from actually doing a lot of things, and it's taking a lot of toll on my life. I've been out of boot camp, I'd say, about a month now. It's almost been a month. I didn't get a chance to actually, even be in consideration for this boot camp challenge, because I would have taken it if given the chance. I would have gone for MDM and shown you all that, we've worked hard. And I know me and Ro talked about it last week, but the thing is, we've been keeping it, hush-hush, because it's not something that you talk about. But for real, I apologize to you if, you're affected by my lapses on this show, by the editing issues, because I do edit this show and it does take a lot, but this thing has been eating at me, and it's a little heavy, but the truth is, I, for the betterment of the show and PWR as a whole, I'll be stepping away from some of my duties for a while, just so that other people who are a lot more competent than myself can take over and you can be in good hands. So with that, you won't be seeing me in the ring on Saturday. You won't be seeing me at the bootcamp challenge. You won't be seeing me anytime soon. But rest assured, you're in good hands. So, yeah, let's end this, baby.
All right. Before we go, we got to thank our friends from the Mellow 94.7 Studios for always making the podcast possible. We also got to give a shout out to the boys and the girls of PWR who've been working their asses off, busting tails day in, day out, night in and night out to make the shows happen. And we got to give you one last reminder that PWR Live is happening this Saturday, August 15th.
Tomorrow, because this is going up on a Friday.
Right.
Yes.
In Makati Cinema Square.
On Friday, yeah.
Be early, guys. You have to be there by like 5 p.m. because that's when the lines start getting long.
Can we say what's happening before?
Yes. We
mentioned it earlier. Yeah.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
There is a pre-show.
Yun.
So in case you didn't know, we have run down the card, but we have a pre-show that's happening at PWR Live. So try to be early. Try to beat the lines. Get a good seat. Then again, MCS is such an intimate venue. Any seat is a good seat. Essentially, you've got the Canto Terror Lakas Tama drinking challenge that's happening. And then right after everything is said and done, of course, you have the excellent show that we'll put out. You've got the meet and greet happening right after that. All of us will be there so you can say hi and you can meet all of your favorite PWR stars, get your photos, get your autographs. Mark out like Jam of Magic 89.9 will always do next to Chris Panzer.
It's a good venue for wrestling fans to meet.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Everyone on the SGP... On the SGP group, find your fellow SGPers, make SGP signs, and say hi to each other.
The mating call.
Mating call natin.
What is our mating call?
I don't know, man.
Meron yan.
Basta hindi su.
If you guys watched Tough Enough, I would have suggested the Yeti call.
The Yeti call?
Yeah.
No.
The big guy goes... yeah, that's the thing. So aside from all of that, normally we would do predictions for PWR shows, but because we've got an extensive coverage over at smarkhenry.ph, we're going to redirect all of you over there. In the meantime, and in between time, we have to ask you to subscribe to the SGP podcast on iTunes. It's Smark Gilas Pilipinas podcast over there. Click the subscribe button. Click the download button. Thank you for rating us, for listening to us. And on behalf of Rowdy Raf Camus and Ravishing Ro Moran, Stunning Stancy over here, signing out for the SGP podcast. We're the SGP podcast. Peace out.